Well, in the communion that we just participated in, we reflected on what God did for us by sending Jesus into the world. We reflected on the significance of Jesus breaking his body and shedding his blood. We reflected on the significance of the cross. And in all of this, we are reminded of the love of God. Now this morning, we not only want to reflect on God loving us, but we want to reflect on the implications of you and I loving God. We turn today to Holy Scripture as it's recorded for us in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we're going to be looking at verses 15 to 24. Now, for those of you that are regular attenders here at the church, you might recognize that we're actually going back to where we left off in our study in John's Gospel back before Advent, before Christmas. We had finished in John 14, verse 14, and so we're ready to pick up now and continue on. So here's what Jesus said, beginning with verse 15 in John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. This is one of those passages that is so full of spiritual truth. In fact, I'm going to forewarn you, I think we're going to redo this text again next Sunday and look at some other things in it. But for this morning, here are several things that we want to note and to highlight. One of them being that to love God is to keep his commandments. And then on the heels of that, and very similar to it, but slightly different perhaps, and that is, if we don't keep the words of Jesus, we don't really love him. And then thirdly, when we live in loving obedience, we more fully experience the love of God. So let's start with that first one. To love God is to keep his commandments. Now, Aretha Loving happened to be a Wycliffe missionary, and she was washing her breakfast dishes when she saw Jimmy, the 5-year-old neighbor, headed straight for the back porch. She had just finished painting the back porch handrails, and she felt really good about her work, which she had done. Come around to the front door, Jimmy, she shouted. There's wet paint on the porch rails. I'll be careful, Jimmy replied, not turning from his path. No, Jimmy, don't come up the steps, Aretha shouted. She knew Jimmy's tendency to, sometimes sort of mess things up. I'll be careful, he said again, and by now he was getting really close to the stairs. Jimmy, stop, Aretha shouted. I don't want carefulness, I want obedience. And as the words burst from her mouth, she suddenly remembered Samuel's response to King Saul. To obey is better than sacrifice. But what about Jimmy? How would he respond? Aretha wondered. Well, to her relief, he shouted back, "All right, loving, I'll go around to the front door." Now, it so happened that he was the only one that called her by her last name like that, and it had actually been that had endeared him to her from the beginning. And as he turned and went around the house, Aretha thought to herself, how often am I like Saul or like Jimmy, wanting just to go my own way? I rationalize, "I'll be careful, Lord, as I proceed with my own plans." But as Aretha noted, he, meaning the Lord, doesn't want carefulness. He wants obedience. So in the scripture that we're looking at here this morning, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's in verse 15. And in verse 21, he said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." So is it evident that you and I love the Lord? Are we responsive to his call? Do we seek to obey his word? Are we like Jimmy who, when it came right down to it, he changed the direction he was going when he realized that his course of action otherwise would be a matter of disobedience? In 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not," what? "They're not burdensome." There's a couple things noted here that are really significant. The one is pointing out that the proof of our love of God lies in this entire matter of our obedience unto him. When we respond to his word, when we keep his commandments, it becomes evidence that we do indeed love the Lord. The other thing noted by the Apostle John is that God's commandments are not burdensome. And I'm afraid that too often people think that, well, you know, if I do what the Lord wants me to do, it's just gonna be a big drag. It's just gonna be no fun ever again. You know, it's gonna be just horrible, and all of that. Won't enjoy life at all. But that's not the case. It's not the case. When you are in a love relationship, it makes all the difference in the world. You do something because you want to, not because you have to. That's what we're talking about here, is loving God. And we want to obey him. We do obey him. That becomes evidence of the fact that we truly are in him and love him. So to love God is to keep his commandments. Now the second key point, like I said, is very similar to what we've just been talking about. If we don't keep the words of Jesus, we don't really love him. If we don't keep the words of Jesus, we don't really love him. Now, I have a hunch that in most Sunday schools, one of the first songs that children learn is that song, "Jesus Loves Me." And one of the lines in that particular song is, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Now, what are we told in the Bible that should convince us that the Lord loves us? Well, Romans 5, verse 8, for example, says that God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wouldn't you just say that's a demonstration of the love of God? And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, in speaking about Jesus, it says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." So it really is about the cross. Jesus willingly giving himself as a ransom, giving himself as a sacrifice, paying the price, taking upon himself the burden of sin for us. It was a demonstration of his love. Going to the cross was the evidence that Jesus loved us. But we're talking this morning about our love for God, our love for Jesus. And so what about that? Notice again what Jesus said in verse 24 of our text. "He who does not love me does not keep my words. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." It's one of those neat passages where it's clear that the Father and the Son are one. They are in agreement. They are in perfect unity with each other. But what this means is that keeping the words of Jesus becomes a demonstration of an individual's love for the Lord. So just to illustrate that let's think about several specific things here. The words of Jesus. For example, our giving becomes an indicator of our love for the Lord. In Matthew 6, 19 and 20, Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves spring up, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Our witness becomes an indicator of our love for the Lord. Witness or testimony. In Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." Our morality becomes an indicator of our love for the Lord. In Matthew 5:27-30, Jesus said, "You have heard it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And he went on to say, "If your right hand causes you to sin, or your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." You know, sometimes we need to be like Jimmy, change the direction he was headed when it registered that loving obedience would require a mid-course correction. And that happens sometimes. I've known it happen to couples, for example, that had been living together, and they became acutely aware that this was displeasing to the Lord, and therefore they took drastic measures. They either started living separately or else they got married right away. Our service becomes an indicator of our love for the Lord. In Matthew 25, Jesus talked about giving food to the hungry, about clothing the naked, about giving water to the thirsty, about visiting the sick and those in prison, and welcoming the stranger. Our prayers become an indicator of our love for the Lord. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you." And we could go on and cite many other examples right there from Matthew's Gospel in that Sermon on the Mount, the very words of Jesus to his disciples. But it's these words of Jesus, keeping them become a living demonstration. They become an evidence that we truly love the Lord. Following Christ is where it's at. Now, let's move on to the third key point. When we live in loving obedience, you and I more fully experience the love of God. It's It just works that way. When we live in loving obedience, we more fully experience the love of God. Now, when I was in the service, I would often see a fellow in the dining hall. And I thought, I don't think I would. He seemed a little stuck up to me and all that. And I thought, you know, I don't think I'd ever probably end up chumming around with him. And then it happened one day. I guess it was just where there were empty seats at tables, and he and I were sitting together at the same table. Guess what? We got acquainted. We began sharing with each other, and we discovered, hey, we liked each other. We became friends, and it became intentional then to, you know, to seek each other out if we were both in the dining hall at the same time. So this friendship was there, and he ended up getting stationed to Hawaii, of all places. But good for him. He invited me to come over and stay, be right there with he and his wife in their house for a week. Didn't cost me anything except to get there, you see. So, notice again verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love him and manifest myself to him. Also, notice verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. When you and I respond to the love of God, something happens. It's much like the experience I had with Edward Dale Tolliver. The Lord reveals himself to us more fully. We get to know him better. We have increased fellowship. We experience him at work in ways we never did before. There is a greater intimacy. We are more aware of his presence in our lives. We have communion with him. Here's what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. I wanted you to notice that entire thing. Truly, the love of God is perfected in the individual. Or completed, if you will. When you and I respond to God's love, the creator of the universe is no longer someone just way out there at a distance, not someone that is just a far off. He is here. He is with us. We are in relationship with him. As Jesus told those in Laodicea, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him, and dine with him, and he with me. That's in Revelation 3, verse 20. So, may it be so. May it be so for you and I in the new year, that we have that kind of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. May all of us experience the love of God more fully, even as we respond to him more fully. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you took the initiative to reach out to us, and you loved us so much that you desired a relationship with us. Lord, sometimes it's just hard to grasp and seems so incredible, but we are so grateful for the opportunity to know you and to serve you and, yes, to respond to your love. We pray that you would continue in this new year to be at work in our lives, and in increasing ways we may experience your presence and your work. We just pray that you would bless us as individual disciples of yours, as homes that seek to be a place of your presence, as a church that seeks to be about your business. So continue to be at work. And we'll thank you for that and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.